I appreciate those songs because they express what Jesus is able to do for us.
The changes that he's able to bring to us. This is more than just a New Year's resolution. I have some changes I want to make in my life. It's about Jesus making those changes for us, and they can be permanent. I also have a song. I'd like for you to sing with me just one verse. It is the message that I have to share with you tonight. It's number 420, the first verse.
Behold what love, yes, love divine, the Father showed to thee, in that he gave his only Son, thy soul from sin to free. Such love cannot be fathomed. 'Tis like the boundless sea. His broken heart so wounded is bleeding now for thee.
I would like for us tonight to behold that love. Yeah. If I were to think about what was God Christ's great sacrifice when he came, it was a great sacrifice for him to die on the cross. It was also a great sacrifice for him to be born in a manger. I can remember years ago, Cheryl bought a manger scene, and come December, we'd set it out. That's a good thing to walk by it and remember. It was love that brought him to that. But you know, the 1st of January, I'll put that up and bring it out again next December to remember. But I think the Lord would like for us to remember his love year round. It's what helps us to be able to sing those songs that were just sung. It's not about my ability. It's about his love for me. And I want to be able to share that love with you today. And if I could look at it this way, I wish there were words to be able to describe to where we could have a picture painted of his love. The price that he paid. Because what I want to talk to you about and what has been going through my mind recently is the love that was shown before the manger scene. Folks, I want to tell you, if we could just see, there's a little song that says, he left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny, and he was willing to do it. There's another song that we sing, oh, may I e'er this scene behold. I want to, through my life out in the future, not just on Christmas Day or on Easter, to remember his love for me, but I would like every day of my life to say, thank you, Lord. He left something very special to be able to make a sacrifice for us. You know, today children are born sometimes to families where maybe they're neglected, maybe they're abused. And we could say, that child never asked to come into the world. Jesus knew what his future would be. And he said, I'm willing. Behold, what love. The Son of God being willing to become the Son of Man and knowing ahead of time. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus knew before he ever came the price that it was going to cost him. And he said, I'll do it. As I think about this and as it sinks in, you know, we're living in a time where there's a lot of commotion to fill our mind. It's hard to stop and get quiet. But it would be very good for me to shut it all out and think about the love of Christ. We love Him because He first loved us. That's what keeps my love for Him going when I can remember what it cost Him in love for me. Fanny Crosby said it this way, "Let me love thee more and more, till this fleeting, fleeting life is o'er. Till my soul is lost in love, in a brighter, brighter world above. My desire is to do the same thing. Lord, let me love you more and more." And I want to tell you how that happens is, for me to start being able to see the depth and the width and the height and to be able to understand His love for me. And not just for me, but for everybody. We sing a song that says, "Sinner, oh behold the wonderful love of God." But you know what I find as I sing that song, I have to say, "Dan, behold the wonderful love of God." For each of us to make heaven our home, it'll be because of His love for us. I look at this transition that Jesus was willing to make from that splendor that He enjoyed in heaven. And I look at it this way. Paul had a lot of troubles come into his life. He wrote about them in a verse. He told us how many times he was beaten with rods, how many times he was stoned, how many times he was shipwrecked. Had lots of trouble come in his life. But he also told us something else. He said, "I'm in a strait betwixt two. I got a vision of something out ahead for me. I just love to be able to go there." You know what he was doing? He had a picture in his mind of where Jesus had come from in the beginning. It was looking pretty bright to Paul. But he also had had a vision of heaven, and I believe he held it close by him. But what I want us to think about for a little bit this evening, Jesus had already experienced heaven. He had dwelt there forever. We get little glimpses of Jesus. When he was sought out there in the garden, when they came to take him, and Peter's going to protect him, and he pulls the sword, Jesus tells him, "Don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels? I got it in my power." What do you say? "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth." What caused him to have restraint? It was his love. Because what did he say? "How then would the scriptures be fulfilled if I don't allow it to go this way? Behold what love, yes, love divine." I want us to look at a verse. We see another picture. After he has been here these years, he was willing to come. He was willing to be rejected, but I think he always had a picture in his mind of where he'd come from. And in his prayer to his Father in the 17th chapter of John, he said, fourth verse, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that you've sent me to do." And then look at this little picture right here. "And now, O Father, would you glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." What was that glory? You know, we get some little snapshots of what that glory was, and I'd like for us to look at it for a little bit. Because what I feel like is important for me out in the future is to recognize if I make heaven my home, it'll be because of the love of God and me receiving it into my heart and doing something with it. And as I see that love, when I start seeing, you know what, he wasn't a human in the point that he never knew what was going to happen the next minute. He knew all the way through to the cross. When he came in, you know, if I were coming into Jerusalem and people were throwing out palm leaves and they're throwing their coats on the ground and they're saying, "Hosanna, glory to God in the highest, and all these kind of things. You know what it would do? I'm a human. It would make me feel pretty good that people want me here. You know, Jesus knew when he rode into Jerusalem that 5 days from now, I'll be by myself. And yet, it was that love that he had for us today and all of those people back then. Sinner, behold the love of God. Saints, let's behold the love of God. I want to see just a little picture. You know, if we could just see into heaven tonight. But the fourth chapter of Revelations, John got a little picture and he tried to describe it to us. I don't think words can really express what that picture really is, but he tried. And it says, this is some of the things it says, holy, in the eighth verse, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And it says, they gave thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. And it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. This is what Jesus was given until he came down. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. Jesus was in on this. And then he willingly said, I'll give that up. I care about mankind. We have another little picture over here in the fifth chapter. And this one is, John sees another picture. And he starts weeping that there's, he sees this book with some seals, it's closed in. There's nobody that can reveal what's in this. And then he sees somebody that can. And he gives a little picture of it in the fifth verse, saying, don't weep. Found somebody that can do it. And then it starts telling the honor that was given to him. That honor was because Christ was able to reveal what the future would be for these things. Look at some of the things that it said. I beheld in the 11th verse the voice of many angels. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom. Like they just, what other word could I give to it? To him that sitteth upon the throne. And it says they fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever. Those were the pictures that was given, and that was just because he was able to unravel revelations for them. If there was that much honor given to Jesus at that time, what would it have been for the sacrifice that he was willing to make to come down here? In the past 5 years, we read about the amount of people that was saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. In the past 5 years, how many from among us has joined those ranks? Do you think they're telling Christ, you put a load on me? Mm-mm. They're in some of these that are giving praise. You know what? For any of us to make heaven, it'll be because of the love of Christ. I can just see it myself today. And there is a big list. If you just started going backwards to those that have gone on to be with the Lord, folks, they're in these that are rejoicing, thanking Christ. You know, I don't know. We can have our own thoughts, and I won't put out my thoughts to be gospel. But you know, when we honored Christ a few days ago to tell him thanks for coming down to the manger, I just wonder, was it a special time in heaven for people to just do a little more rejoicing? Thank you, Lord. I saw it back then. I saw the love that you had shown back then, but I never comprehended it so much as I get to do right here. And all I have, you know, there's people that say, when I get to heaven, I got some questions I'm going to ask the Lord. I think when I get to that point, I need to change that around. If I get to heaven, I got some questions. Because I want to tell you something. To make heaven my home is going to be nothing but thanks to God for helping me to be able to make it. I'm so glad that he was willing to drink his bitter cup. And it's hard for us as a human to comprehend his ability to know what the future held while he was still enjoying the splendor of heaven. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us. We don't know the troubles that will come to us tomorrow. We need the Lord to go with us. He knew the troubles that would come to him, and he was willing. I just get a little picture. We read this at Christmas time. When the angels came down to the shepherds, a multitude of angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth." It's almost like just a few of that band from up there that had been rejoicing, bringing glory to him, said, "We'll go down and introduce him. We'll just bring him down here and show him." From heaven to earth, to a babe in a manger. And it was a choice that he made. I just want to, for a little bit, look at a picture. When we, there's a song that says, "The Wonder of Wonders." You know, that's just somebody's thought about it. Somebody in looking at all these and really realizing that Christ was back there from the beginning. I want to look at this for a little bit. It lets us know Christ was here from the beginning. There's another little verse that said, song that said, and it was somebody trying to comprehend when Jesus was 12 years old and went into the temple. And here's what they thought. They had this little song that says, "Son, what's your name?" He said, "On my mother's side, I'm called Jesus. On my father's side, I'm called Emmanuel." Yes. They said, "How old are you?" He said, "On my mother's side, I'm 12 years old. On my father's side, I've always been." You know, those kind of thoughts, they're just somebody's thoughts about it. But I believe they're more real than what we can recognize. Where'd you come from? "Well, on my mother's side, I came from Bethlehem. But on my father's side, I came from New Jerusalem. I came from heaven." What a contrast. And yet he was willing to take and be his mother's side for those years that I would be able to be saved. It says, "The wonder of wonders, as she looked." You remember there was times where it said Mary pondered these things in her heart. The angel had told her some things, and now she sees it come to pass. It says, "The wonder of wonders, as she looked on his face at this little boy," he's the one that spoke the world in its place, "the stars and the moon shining brightly on them, the earth and the sun were created by him." Folks, I wish we could get a picture of who he was before he was willing to come down here. "The wonder of wonders," as she heard his small cry, this voice had thundered on Mount Sinai. The small hand she held so tenderly had made a dry path through the mighty Red Sea. "The wonder of wonders," as she looked down and smiled, that he was her maker as well as her child. He created the womb that had given him birth. He was God incarnate, come down to earth. The wonder of wonders, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and he walked among men. The wonder of wonders that he died for my sin. I want us to think about something. The choices that were made of how he would be presented. When the wise men came, they had an idea of who Jesus would be. In fact, they ask Herod, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" You know, there was prophecy that said unto us, "A child is born, the government's going to be on his shoulders." I wonder what they expected to be able to have happen. But you know, along with that verse in Isaiah about the government on his shoulders is another chapter that says he had no form or comeliness that we would desire him. You know what? The God of heaven, as they made this plan for salvation, could have said, "We're going to send out the best specimen of a man. He's going to be perfect in every way." And they said, "We'll send Jesus where he has no form or comeliness." You know, we judge a lot of people sometimes by their looks. Samuel walked close to God, and God told him to go to the house of Jesse and anoint one of those sons because he's going to be king. God saw fit not to tell Samuel which one it was going to be, so Samuel depends on his ability as he looks at him. And he looked at one of them, I believe it was Eliab, and he said, "I believe this is the one right here." What did he use for his material? Did he run him through a test for king material? You know, do you know how to run a kingdom? No, he looked at the looks of him. He looked like a king. You know, I'm so glad that Eliab didn't become the king, because he was one of those over there that was scared of the giant. He wasn't king material. And what did God say to Samuel? "It's real easy for man to look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. There was no beauty in him that we would desire him, and yet he was willing to come in that form. I'm thankful for that." There are some places where when Jesus was ministering to the people in John, in the 6th chapter, he's trying to get them to believe on him, 6:40. "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up. The Jews murmured at him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.'" You know what a job it would be for him to convince somebody, "I'm God's son. I'm the one that you've been looking for." You know, when the three wise men came and they asked Herod, and Herod sent to the chief priest and demanded of them to tell him, they had the answers. "He's going to be born in Bethlehem." But you know what? We don't find the chief priest saying, "Would you lead us? You see a star. Would you take us also?" They didn't do it. Here it's saying, "Who is this?" And they said, 42nd verse, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?" You know, it's hard for us to see past. I know his daddy. He's just a carpenter. Boy, these are some poor folks. Let me tell you where he was born anyhow. The wonder of wonders that Christ would humble himself to that level for us. Despised and rejected of men. You know, I love the 9th chapter of John. When Jesus came and he healed the blind man, and the blind man is so happy, and there's people that recognize him, and the blind man is called in to give testimony of what has happened. You know, he was blind. He didn't see who it was. He just knows. He knows a lot. The other said, "He healed on the Sabbath day. This man cannot be of God." I love this man's response. "Whether he's of God or not, I just really don't know all that. What I do know, I was blind, and now I see." You know what? There's a whole lot of things that I can't explain about eternal things. How did all that happen, that the God of heaven came down here like he did? But I know one thing. The result of it was that I was blind, and now I see. And that's what he told them. And they would go off and debate it a little bit and come back to him and say, "Hey, tell us the story again." To the point that he said, "Huh, maybe y'all want to be a believer too." And that's when they threw him out. You don't know near as much about all this. Give God the credit. This man's a sinner. But you know what? This Jesus that was despised and rejected, he comes around to anybody that would like to know him. Let's look in John in the 9th chapter. Because you know what? He still comes to those who will receive him. Because Jesus comes along after they have cast him out. You know, he came to his own and his own received him not. But he didn't say, I quit. Father, take me back home. I'm through with it. To as many as did receive him, to them gave he power. And it's still available for us. 2,000 years later, it's not a baby in a manger. It's not someone on a cross. It's the love that he had from the very beginning. Those are all just results of that love that was shown. From glory to the manger, on wings of love he came. So this man has been cast out now. In 9:35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he found him, I can just see Jesus. I'm going to search this man out. I want to visit with him for a little bit. When he had found him, he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, no, those chief priests have talked to me enough. I believe he's a sinner. Nope, didn't say that. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? I got a desire. Folks, I want to tell you, if we have a desire to know him, we're going to find a path right through all the troubles that we can be presented with. And then he said, Jesus said to him in 37th verse, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. This man saw now Jesus, the one who his looks, he was despised and rejected of men. He didn't have any comeliness that we would desire him. And did that man look at him and say, no way. No way. The Son of God's got to be somebody better than this one. He didn't say that. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You know, Jesus said, blessed is he that is not offended in me. Because of how he has been presented, we're not offended. You know, it said he went to his own country. And I thought about this little piece right here. There are little towns that we drive into, and they will have signs. There was a special person born right here. This person, he's an athlete that had some kind of recognition. Or this place right here, this little town right here, out in the middle of nowhere, is where the governor came from. He was born here. So he's coming back to his own town, where it could be that they would say, Jesus, we welcome you. You know, when he went into the synagogue and he taught them, they recognized something's different about this man. He's healing people. He's saying things that we've never heard before. But we know his mama. We know his daddy. And they were offended in him. The wonder of wonders, how could it be? He became flesh and he was given for me. I am thankful for the love of Christ, that he was willing. And my desire is that the Lord would paint in my mind the picture, that I don't just carry through Christmas time, nor pick it up again at Easter time, but throughout every day of my life, that I would thank him for the love, that he was willing to come down, leave the place that I'm desiring to go to when I finish out all these troubles in life, leave the place where so many that have left here are enjoying tonight. He was willing to leave it for a while because he wanted all the rest of us to be able to have a hope of it in the end. There's a song 264, I believe, that says, O Christ, the results of all this, O Christ, I can but love thee. What heart could ever withhold a love that cost so dearly the offering of your soul? I want it to have an impact on me in decisions that I have to make every day. I want it to be weighed by the love that he had way back before the manger. It took love for him to be able to say, I'll go. I understand what will happen. You know, when he looked out over Jerusalem, I believe when he was born, he wasn't void of feelings. If it says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, it means that he went through the feeling state. When he was rejected, he felt it. When his disciples fled, he felt it. And yet he took all of those things and he said, I'm on a mission. There were so many places in the scripture that he allowed this to happen that it might be fulfilled what was written in the prophecy. And now it comes down to us today. 2,000 years has now passed. Is it just a little piece of history that we're talking about tonight? It's more than that. Because in Philippians 2 and 5, it tells me, Dan, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. As I thought about the message this morning, is there not a cause?
Yes.
Jesus said, there's a cause. Yes. It's going to cost me so much, but there's a cause out there of humanity.
Yes.
That I want to be able to save, that I will lay aside the splendor, the majesty, the honor that I'm receiving up here. I'll lay it aside for a while because I want to give people the opportunity to be able to make it back here. There's a scripture that tells us, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. I don't think that just ends in the chapel here. I think it reaches out, as we heard this morning, to all men. When Jesus was willing, I believe those that rejected him could have been saved themselves if they would have just been willing to turn. He didn't hold it off from anyone. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have that kind of love one to another, that I would be willing to lay aside my feelings about things. You know how easy it is for my feelings to get hurt. And I can spend days and weeks and months turning it over, filling up my mind with what has been done to me. What if Jesus had done that? He had had no time for anything else. I was spit on just a little bit ago. I'm calling 12 legions of angels. I'm through with this. I'm so glad he was willing to take his bitter cup. And now when it comes my turn to let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus, we will each one get that opportunity to show Christ to the world. What was he? Not willing that any would perish, no matter what the price tag is, but that everybody would be able to come to repentance. The example has been given to me. I say, Lord, help me now. I desire your prayers.